Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of March 4th through 10th, 2013, the last week before Worlds in London, Ontario, as the event promotes itself with an exhibition of art by Tola Cranston in the city's put purple lights up all around town already, and a dispute has risen about the local parking rates. But the ISU is already preparing for the all-important Olympic season, releasing all the details about next year's short dance and Grand Prix series. The latter is mostly information we know already, but the former brings a little more clarity about how the Finstep short will work in the senior dance. For scoring purposes, they've broken the long dance pattern into two sections, which must be done consecutively, of course, and they must start on the judges' side of the ice. Junior teams will do two sequences of the quick step and may split them up, but must start them on both sides of the ice. Both senior and junior teams may combine their quick step with Foxtrot or Charleston. Senior teams may also do so with the swing. And dancers have a choice of midline, diagonal, or circular step sequences, but must still do them without touching. Most of the rest of the week's goings-on are interviews, including a teleconference with Max Aaron, in which he talked about his turbulent history, which included breaking his back in his late teens, and being told as he advanced that he didn't have the goods to reach the top. And after a year of getting bombarded with it last spring, he seriously considered quitting for 2 months after Nationals, and even now, of course, he struggled with low presentation scores, and after four continents, which he called an eye-opener for more than one reason, and also good practice for skating in front of that kind of audience for Worlds, he's doing further work on that while still trying to up his tariff by aiming for level 4 step sequences, but his jump layout remains the same for Worlds. But he talks of upping it by next season, possibly even by the World Team Trophy, if he's selected for that, possibly putting a quad in the back half and or going up to 3 quads, 2 salchows and 1 toe, and he talks even about 4 quads, 2 of each kind. He's tried harder quads too, but he wants to master the toe and salchow completely before considering those seriously. Marissa Castelli and Simon Schnapier, of course, had talked at length already about their nearly throwing the towel in last spring, at least in terms of skating with each other. Their coach Barbie Martin now tells the story of how they were fighting so much that in February, he told them he was going on vacation. While he was gone, they were to skate together, but not with any other coaches, and they had to tell him whether they were staying or splitting when he came back. The rest, thankfully, is history, with Schnapier calling it a completely new team, new relationship, and Martin especially praises them for their new consistency. However, they also said they are not trying to throw triple axel or throw quad at Worlds, going it seems for the safer jumps, and Martin says about their expectations only, "I want to see a good, solid competition from the moment they step on that plane to the moment they come back to Boston. I also want them to enjoy themselves. They've earned this. They deserve this." Ashley Wagner, too, had a teleconference, though she kept losing the signal, and assured everyone she's long recovered from her hip problems from earlier in the season, and assured Phil Hirsch that falling twice in the long at 2 competitions in a row does not compel her to do it again at another one. She talked more about how the loss of the third spot is something she's felt, but feels they'll get it back if she and Gracie Gold both deliver, though she called the level of competition in the ladies' field insane. But though they are training triple-triple for the short and a double-axle triple-toe for the long, she still promises neither. That decision remains for her coach to make. Gracie Gold, on the other hand, said in her teleconference she's going for hard triple-triples, but she switched to a triple-lutch triple-toe and made the flip her solo jump in the short program because the lutz is her favorite and she's had problems in the past with an edge call in the flip. She'll have a new costume in the short, too, which she says has a much better fit, though she denies it as being symbolic of her not skating a short like the Nationals one again. She, too, talks about the 3 spots, though she's trying to stay away from thinking about her placement. Alyssa Skimek and Chris Kanirim, too, talked about themselves this week, elaborating on their coach's words about her injury, or injuries, plural, as she has cuboid syndrome, which relates to the joints and ligaments of one of the bones in the middle of her foot, tendonitis on the side of her foot, and a bone bruise in her ankle. However, some taping and 2 kinds of therapy have, she insists, enabled her to train at full strength, and they're going to Worlds looking only for experience and a personal best. They also officially went public with their off-ice relationship, which most people already knew about, saying they got interested in each other as soon as they met for the tryout, and though they know the complications dating a partner can bring, they think they can avoid those and reap the benefits of knowing each other so well instead. Home skaters Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer have also spoken to multiple sources, Russian as well as Canadian, to say there are no lingering difficulties from the leg cramp that stalled them at 4 continents. Virtue now says they were overdoing it in training a bit and have changed that in recent weeks, as well as their programs a little. They've also now said they will likely retire after the Olympics. But of course, the more incredible story would be Caitlin Weaver and Andrew Pogge's, and they've talked a little too about how they intended to change their programs around entirely before her injury, and in fact, even now, are only getting their new costumes at the last minute, and how they really didn't think at one point they'd make Worlds, and how both they and her surgeon are a little amazed. The reshaping of the programs were largely affected by what she was recovered enough to do, but her being back at full strength have allowed them to make them more what they want them to be. Even so, while they started the season fully aimed at the Worlds podium, now they're just happy to be there and will be happy, in her words, to put an exclamation point on the season because it's been up and down, to say the least. Also talking with Ice Network was Misha G, who discusses first his history and is coming to represent Uzbekistan. Despite splitting his childhood between China and Russia and even coming in sixth at Chinese nationals, he notes he was courted by multiple nations, that it was his coach father's decision, and that his mother had ties to the country and his family to its skating federation, going back to the country's youngest years post-Soviet Union. Though after 3 years of living in the US as well, nowadays, when asked, Teach just says he's from Earth. He also talked about his continual problems getting visas for his competitions, and he thinks they should devise an athletic passport which would lessen these problems. Also, deductions or no, he's not getting rid of the vocals in his music. But sadly, probably none of them got as much attention as the full hour-long interview with Jane Torval and Christopher Dean by Piers Morgan that finally aired this week. Torval admit there that when they first met as teenagers, she fell in love with Dean at first sight, but then they started skating together, and very early in their partnership, he kissed her on the back of the bus while she was asleep once, but really, there wasn't much. She also talked for the first time about trouble she had having children after retirement, a topic which reduced her to tears. She suffered an ectopic pregnancy, and then spent a year struggling with IVF before finally deciding to adopt after one of her friends did. He talked about his parents' breakup and about going from Jill Trenery to Karen Barber, saying the latter comforted him after the former, and it happened from there. That was just before what at the time we were thinking might very well be the final episode ever of Their Dancing on Ice. There was still no word of renewal, and Torval and Dean at least were about ready to hit the panic button. In the final, Matt Lipinskas and Bria Delcourt bagged two perfect 40s for their first two routines, a showcase of all the moves he'd learned to Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, where he literally sent the sparks flying, and the redo of their week one Chris Brown routine, to which they've added headbanging. Beth Tweddle and Daniel Whiston trailed behind by 6 points with a sexy showcase to Car Wash, complete with a car on the ice, and a redo of her week five routine to Emil Sans Clown. And Luke Campbell and Jenna Smith trailed by a lot more. They did well enough to a country western showcase to Queen's Crazy Little Thing Called Love, but while redoing their week five One Direction routine, stumbled in a spin. When it came time for the pre-Bolero cut, they were predictably the ones to go. But after Lipinskas and Delcourt and Tweddle and Whiston each performed their interpretation of Torval and Dean's most famous dance, and both did great jobs, with one last round of voting, the people spoke, and Tweddle and Whiston were named the winners, his third title. Meanwhile, the host announced that the show has been renewed for at least one more season, so this isn't the end after all. So now there's just Dorothy Hamill carrying the skater reality flag, and she's trying to tone down expectations this week, saying she's clumsy and calling her dancing an elephant on skates. Partner Tristan McManus, however, says that despite some typical difficulties, all in all, rehearsals are going well. Hamill is also getting advice from former champion Christy Yamaguchi, who tells her to listen to McManus. Also, apparently Dancing with the Stars is going unusual for their first week, since Hamill and McManus's week one dance will be contemporary, a style defined not by any rhythms or moved, but through expansiveness and creativity and freedom of movement, which was only done for the first time in the show last season as a special rhythm. Though there might soon also be retired pair skaters Craig Button and John Matichal, who've just put out an audition video for the first season of The Amazing Race Canada, airing this summer. The video has skating in it, and the two guys, who since retirement have remained good friends but haven't seen each other as much as they'd liked, were also among those talking to Ice Network this week. Button has earned a master's degree and gone into the sustainable energy business, and Matichal is studying engineering in Nova Scotia. They hope to gain more visibility for figure skating by being on the show. And finally, looking back at U.S. Nationals, the Professional Skaters Association announced Monday the winners of their Eddie Awards for the best performances there. Men's, as one might expect, went to Max Aaron for his free skate. Dance, equally predictably, went to Merrill Davis and Charlie White for their free dance. Pairs went to Alexis Kimek and Chris Kneimrum for their free skate. And since the senior ladies all had their issues, the ladies' award instead went to Belina Edmonds for the free skate that won her the junior title. While the Secret Ice Performance Award went to collegiate champions Miami University for their 1920s-themed free skate. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Good night.